In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text is the lesson read previously, and especially these words: in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. One of my morning rituals is to watch the news while brushing my teeth. And recently, while doing so, the news was interrupted by a commercial that sparked further reflection on this text from Ephesians. The commercial invited the viewer to plan his or her funeral. Why, the mortician asks, should you plan your funeral? The answer he proposed was interesting. The same reason that you plan your summer vacation. You want to avoid discomfort and travel smoothly. Now, whatever the pluses or minuses might be to his suggestion, I wondered what would have happened if he had asked a further question with his trip analogy, namely, where are you going? And that trip analogy fell flat because there was nothing about the destination, although death was obviously assumed. What if someone would have replied, this trip is so terrifying, and the end, the destination, so dreadful, I don't want to ever prepare for such a journey. At such an early hour, the idea even crossed my path whether a mortician might say, for those who are uncertain of their destination, we have an asbestos suit to persevere your first moments in the future life. Indeed, I would suggest it's a commentary on our time and our world that we are kept so busy with this and that, work and play, passing details, that the central questions of human existence are constantly marginalized. Where are you going at death? If you ask that in much of Europe and increasingly in America, you will see people's expressions go blank. If you dwell on it, the anxiety and the tension will mount. It's just not the question to ask. And then, if you come in with kind of an illegalistic, evangelistic technique, well, make a decision now or you will burn in hell, then resentment and anger will often follow. The world, I would suggest, has not always been so numbed by activities. There have been ages where the questions were asked more central to our being. In fact, my hunch is that the Ephesians to whom Paul is writing had done a better job of reflecting and inquiring on the first things than many in our day. Ephesus was the crossroads of the Eastern Mediterranean, remarkably preserved. One can walk down its main street today and be dazzled by the beauty and the wonder of an ancient Greek city. Indeed, if you pass through the amphitheater, it seated approximately 20,000 people. And there one can easily picture the great Greek tragedies of Aeschylus, Sophocles, Euripides being played. These were plays that held up the question of human flourishing. What are we here for, and where are we going? And along the streets and near the library, one can visualize the philosophers debating these very questions of what it is to be human And how do humans relate to the cosmos and to the divine? Those Ephesians, at least many of them, were seeking and searching for a philosophy that would satisfy and become the basis of life, whether it be Plato or Aristotle or the Stoics or the Cynics. There were myriad options, and the options demonstrated the search. And so though they were searching in all the wrong places, I would suggest they had an integrity and an authenticity that's often lacking today. Much of our era has simply given up and is satisfied and reduced to the present moment, to have a bit of fun, to acquire a bit more. Such moves are simply to render us subhuman. How much more honest and human are the epitaphs of Greek cemeteries, one of which read, "Here lies Anaxes. I never married, and I wish my mother never had." There's something truthful about that, isn't there? Or last summer in England, I came across a medieval epitaph where the departed preached to us. On his tombstone was this: "I once was what you are, and you will soon be what I am." Doesn't that encourage you? "I was once what you are, and you will soon be what I am." There's something truthful to that. And there is importance in honest engagement for Christians. Into such a setting as we inhabit today, where people are asking and searching, we can learn from St. Paul, who had people who were asking and searching in better ways. For Paul brings a breathtaking invitation. He says, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." It is in Christ that we can address that core question of where we're going. And it is in Christ that the question is answered confidently, without qualification, for we can approach God. And what a privilege and a pleasure it is to be on a journey that goes all the way into eternity and is utterly clear in its character and its definition, and all for our good and for our flourishing. The answer is we will be with Jesus, who is now with us, brilliantly with us, through the living voice of the prophets and the apostles, through the lavish waters of holy baptism, through the Holy Eucharist. Jesus is present to us, even as we will be present to him. And that is the whole world in one word, namely Christ. You and every Christian are doing the finest preparation possible for your funeral, namely coming to God in Christ with free access and full liberty, as Paul says, no longer confined by death or by the moment, now delivered to his living, life-giving, forgiving presence. Now we must note, especially for Dr. Nordling and the enriched Greek students, the wonder and the beauty of two words here, namely parrhesion, full liberty, a word widely used in Greek philosophy, but now deployed by Paul in a fresh and reality-changing way by embedding its source in Christ. That is full liberty. What the philosophers had theorized is now grounded in the flesh of Christ. And pros agoge, to have free access. Now there is no requirement. Indeed, Christ himself comes as a free gift and gives free access to the Father. and to his forgiving bosom. As one commentator has put it, the Christian does not in any case go of himself. He is led by Christ so that his own movement is accomplished in Christ. Many of the ancient Christians and the ancient Greeks gave up. The Christians held on, but the Greeks gave up and said each human being is simply subject to fate, something they called Moira. And today people are largely giving up to materialistic evolutionary processes that we could call Moira. But Christians, ancient and modern, are called to be taken up to God and to now enjoy God in Christ and to celebrate the full liberty and access that we have to him. And then may we announce such freedom and such liberty in fresh and faithful ways, present the fullness of Christ, his presence, first to ourselves and then to all the world. And so our journey will be delightful, and it will be full of God's life. God grant it to us for Christ's sake, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.